can be like Zacchaeus. When you know where Jesus is going to be, overcome whatever the obstacle is and go be with Jesus. Go see where he's going to be at. Climb that tree. Don't listen to those people. Go be where Jesus is going to be. One of our big obstacles when we look at who the crowd is, the people that we can't see around, a lot of it is just our own self-doubt. So we go in and listen to the opinions of whether it's going to be one of your teachers, one of your friends, it's going to be somebody at work who you're talking with. Get around that. Go do what Zacchaeus did. Say, you know what? I need to go be where Jesus is. I don't need to worry about who those other people are in my life that may have questions about what I'm doing. So Zacchaeus is up in the tree, and he's getting this view of Jesus. And then we see in verse 5, we see, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. So you've got Zacchaeus, who's pretty well despised in his town as the chief tax collector. There's all these hundreds of people who are gathered around to see Jesus. And Jesus is walking up to Zacchaeus and say, you, I need you. I've got to stay at your house right now, today. Zacchaeus has just been accepted by the only person that matters most. He's been accepted by the Messiah. We don't see anything in the scriptures that Jesus had gone to Jericho before. There's nothing in the scriptures that says that Jesus had met Zacchaeus before. As a matter, you know, in verse 3, it's talking about Zacchaeus wanted to go see who this guy Jesus was. So Jesus hadn't met Zacchaeus before. So it's almost like he was seeking Zacchaeus out to say, hey, you, I want to spend time with you. And that got me to thinking about stuff that we have going on within our own church. When we go out on the mission trips, whether we're at a food pantry or a lot of times when we're out at the kids clubs, there's going to be kids that are sitting off to the sides and they're not out doing the main activities. And one of the cool things that I wish all you guys could see is how your youth will go out and they will seek out those kids who are out by themselves. And they will go out and put their arm around that kid and say, hey, you're special. You're valuable. You're important. Let's go hang out together. Exactly what Jesus was doing here. He saw the guy who was the outcast and said, you're important, you matter, I accept you. The other person I was thinking about was Miss Eddie. I think if we could all raise our hand and say, within the first 2 or 3 times that you came to Faith Bible Church, you probably got a hug and a kiss on the neck by Miss Eddie. Yeah, I see Jeff back there raising his hand. Yeah. That's her way of showing Jesus. She's going to make sure that when you walk through the doors at Faith Bible Church, that you know that in this place, that you are accepted and that you are loved. That's exactly what Jesus was doing. Wanting Zacchaeus, wanting this outsider to know you are accepted and you are loved. One of the neat things that we see in here in verse 5 about Zacchaeus, about Jesus obviously knew who Zacchaeus was and sought him out. So even though Zacchaeus thought he was seeking out Jesus, in reality, Jesus was already seeking him out. And I think if we all look through our spiritual journeys, we will look at all the stages where we said, oh, I was seeking Jesus out. But if I really look at it, there were all these things going on in my life where Jesus was setting the stage so that I could meet him where I needed to be. More importantly, there's also things that go on in our life that we would say, man, this is horrible. When we were on the mission trip, to a person, myself, Casey, Estella, Kelly, were sharing with our youth group the stuff that the youth kids said it, you guys would say it, the world would say, that's horrible, I can't believe you went through something at such a young age, or I can't believe as a woman, you know, a man treated you this way. But what we're able to look back in and say, you know what, that was God setting the stage to get me where I needed to be so that I can meet him. And even more amazingly, a lot of that is God was setting the stage so that I could help somebody else, one of our youth kids, a friend, a neighbor, somebody that we work with, that I could help go through these experiences so I could help lead them and get them to meet Jesus where he needed to be. So there's a lot of times in our lives when we're going through that we think are horrible or the world thinks is horrible, that it's God trying to get that stage set for us to say, hey, you need to go through this so I can get you to this point so that you and I can meet each other where we need to meet each other. Climbing up the top of a fig tree, sitting in a rehab center, you know, wherever it may be, that you finally hit your point to say, I'm ready to meet you, Jesus. Zacchaeus had a choice here, and this is where I get into something that you've probably all heard Andy say. somebody else, but I'm always going to give him full credit. Andy likes to ask our kids and our college students, says, what's God saying to you, and what are you going to do about it? Zacchaeus had that exactly from Jesus. Jesus said, hey, we look back here in verse 5, he says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And Zacchaeus didn't sit around and go, well, you know, the wife hasn't cleaned things up, and I don't have dinner ready. Say, God's, what's God saying to you? I've got to go. What's Zacchaeus going to do about it? We see in verse 6, it says, So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. He immediately got down. He had this opportunity to go and meet and stay with Jesus, and he took that opportunity and he ran with it. So we're having this moment, Zacchaeus is having this moment with Jesus where he's seeing, hey, I've been an outcast, I haven't been accepted, but now here you are, you're the Messiah, you're accepting me, I'm completely loved by you, and the crowd decides to get in the way, because the crowd can't handle this. And so we look in verse 7, it said, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner, can't say it as well as Andy does, a sinner, but that's the crowd. So the crowd sitting there, you know, they had to make sure, well, he went to ask Zacchaeus to go be, spend time at him. He should have asked Pastor Dan, because Pastor Dan's a person in this, or he should have gone out with Andy Vanderveer, because this guy Zacchaeus is a sinner and he's not a nice guy to hang around with. The crowd is that person that's always going to try to pull you back. The crowd is that person that is always going to say you're no better than the sin that you've always been. There's no way that you could be anything better. The crowd is always the one that's going to be basically, again, stealing the line from Andy. You do a good job. I pick up a lot of your stuff, man. The devil is, and he's always going to be whispering in your ear and saying, you can't overcome this sin. There's no way that God's going to want you, because look at the bad things that you've done in your life. What we have to do as Christians, when the devil's whispering in our ear, is also remember the scriptures that say, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So while I was doing all this horrible, nasty stuff that the devil's whispering in my ear about, right? The devil whispers in your ear and says you're no good. God already knew that stuff was going on in your life, and he still died for you. And said, I love you, and you're accepted. And all you have to do is believe in me. So if you're in that position and you're Zacchaeus, that's what you need to remember. Hey, the crowd's yelling at me. I'm trying to be torn down. But while I was still a sinner, Christ still loved me. Even before I accepted him, he still loved me. If you're on the other side, if you're part of the crowd, it's a portion of the sermon. There's a guy named Jimbo Fisher who just took over the football team for the Aggies. And he's got some great quotes. And one of his greatest quotes is, your actions speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. If you're part of the crowd, you're a Jesus example whether you want to be or not. So I can't stand over here and say, hey, this is the nice things that the way we're supposed to be as churchy and Christians, and this is what we're supposed to do. Then come here on the other side and go, well, you know, she said she was a Christian, but I heard she went out on a date with that boy, or I heard he was doing something on the internet he wasn't supposed to, so I don't know if he's really a Christian. This is what people see. People don't see that. Your actions scream so loud, they can't hear what you're saying. If you find that you're there, that you're in part of the crowd, if you find that, hey, Lord, I want grace for me, but I want justice for you, and I want justice for all those other people, you need to do what Dan tells us to do. We need to repent. We need to go be with Jesus. Zacchaeus was hearing this, and we look in verse 8 and said, but Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. In chapter 18, if you read through, you remember the story of the rich young ruler. Jesus had actually asked, he said, what do I need to do? And Jesus said, you need to go and start to follow me. Now we have this example here of Zacchaeus where Jesus didn't ask him to do this. Jesus had already said, hey, I need to go spend time with you. You're accepted. I love you. What Zacchaeus is doing is saying, I'm not talking to the crowd. I'm not trying to tell Jesus, hey, you know, I'm really this nice guy, and here's the type of things I want to do, and this is why you should love me. He's not doing that. Zacchaeus is doing what God had already written on his heart. And this is what we have for today is, when you know that you're free, when you know that you're loved by God and you are accepted, what do you do with all the things that God's already written on your heart? It's not new stuff. It's stuff that's already been there. He's already told you this is what you're supposed to do. But you got to know that you're free and that you're able to go out and do all of those things. And it kind of reminded me a bit, again, I know I keep going back to the mission trip, but we had some things happen this year. One of the discussions that we were having was, hey, you know, I feel like whenever I come to church or I'm going to a Bible study or I'm at FCA, I walk into the room and I put on my Christian mask. And then when I'm finished, I go and I take my mask off and I go back and do all the things that the world says that I'm supposed to do. What we're seeing here with Zacchaeus and the things that we talked about on the mission trip and the things that I'm sure some of you guys felt, some of you from the Faith Bible Church, hey, I got to put my Christian mask on today so that I can look good to everybody else. You've got the analogy completely wrong. The mask is the world. God's already written on your heart all the stuff that he wants for you to do. You are loved. You are holy. You are a child of God. And what you're really doing is when you're coming to Faith Bible Church, when you're going to that Bible study, when you're sitting in FCA for all of you middle school and high school, you're being who God wants you to be. And when you walk out, that mask that you're putting on is really that mask that's the world. And we need to think about that analogy, that God has already got written on your heart what you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do. We just need to ask ourselves, and ask ourselves periodically. I need to ask myself. Josh needs to ask himself, okay, well, God, what is it that you've written on my heart that I'm supposed to do to further your kingdom? So Jesus heard this, what Zacchaeus had told, and then we get to verse 9, and Jesus said to him, he said, today salvation has come to this house. Because this man, too, is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. So again, this isn't Jesus speaking out to the crowd. This is Jesus looking directly at Zacchaeus and saying, you are accepted. You are a legitimate Jew. I love you. You are one of my children. It doesn't say this in the scriptures, but what I can picture is Jesus putting his hands on Zacchaeus' head, on both sides, and leaning in close and going, there's nobody else here. I don't care what they're saying. It's you and me right now. I have come to seek and to save you. You specifically. If you are sitting in here today and you are not sure if you're a believer, I want you haven't seen a sign. I want you to consider this. This is your sign today. This is Jesus telling you right now, you are accepted. You are loved. And this is Jesus putting his hands on either side of your face and saying, don't pay attention to anybody else here. I came to seek and to save you. At the end of the service, while the songs are going on, if you aren't a believer right now and you want to come talk to myself or Brian or Josh, we'll be up here at the front. We would love to talk to you about becoming a believer in Christ. If you're unsure and you're having questions, we can set up times with you to talk. But what all of you need to know is that Jesus already loves you. And he came for you specifically. He came for all of us. But he came for you specifically to die just for you. And you're accepted and you're loved. And there's this big Jesus-shaped hole in your heart that he's the only one who's going to be able to fill. For those of you who are believers and you know you're accepted, and maybe you've been a Christian for 2 days or maybe you've been a Christian for 50 years, there's something else that I want you to learn from Zacchaeus, and that is vulnerability. Zacchaeus was a despised person in his town. Zacchaeus put himself out there. He went out amongst the crowd. He realized that he wasn't going to be able to see Jesus, so he climbed up on this tree to put himself even more out on a limb, no pun intended. I'm glad some of y'all got that. BadDadJokes.com. He put himself out on a limb. He was vulnerable and exposed himself to everybody. I think there's a lot going on for Faith Bible Church. I think it's one of the areas where Jesus wants us to grow here at Faith Bible Church is the ability to be vulnerable with each other. Again, I'm going to go back to the mission trip. And a lot of you are here for our report out, you saw it from all of the kids, from the other adult leaders, is When the devil's being a booger and telling you, hey, God's not going to love you, the other thing that he's also telling you is you're the only one who's going through whatever it is that you're going through. Nobody else is having that same experience but you. And what we saw on that mission trip is that we had the adult leaders were opening up about the issues that were going on, and that was great, and we were trying to get them to see, hey, you're not alone. But what it took was one of their peers to say, you know what, here's a struggle that I'm going through in my life that you don't know about. And what happened is by that one kid being vulnerable, there were three other kids that said, you know what, I'm going through that exact same thing, and I thought I was the only one. And then that got another kid to say, hey, you know what, since you were able to be vulnerable about that and you didn't know what else knew, let me tell you about what's going on in my life. So that we could start praying for each other and you could realize that you're not alone. We could start tackling whatever that struggle was. And that's something that we need to be able to do here at Faith Bible Church. And having small groups is great. Having eating dinners together is awesome. Building relationships is phenomenal. But we don't need to wait 18 months before I can say, you know what, now I finally know Mark Record well enough that I can say something personal. We need to be able to do that tomorrow. We need to be able to do that right now. But one of the biggest fears that we have is, you know what, I don't want to let out whatever that issue is, that vulnerability is, the relationship that I have with my wife, that I really don't know if there really is a God, even though I was baptized, I'm having doubts about my beliefs, or maybe I'm doing things on the internet I'm not supposed to, or maybe I'm, you know, God's been telling me for 6 years that I'm supposed to go talk to this lady at the grocery store. Whatever that issue is, that vulnerability is that you have, people don't want to share that because they think it's going to get used against them. It's one of the biggest issues that these guys in middle school and high school have. You show any vulnerability, any weakness, and you are going to get pounced on. And back in our day, it might have got written on the water tower. In their day, within 30 minutes, there's going to be 15,000 people that know about it on Facebook. But one of the things that all of these kids realized is said, you know, whenever I've said anything to anybody in Faith Bible Church youth group, it's never been used against me. And one of the things that we need to know here at Faith Bible Church, all of you to a person, Ted Whitmer, Phil Skrbonik, Casey Van Norman, you've all had conversations with me about there's something different about what goes on at Faith Bible Church. And I feel loved, and there's something different, and I feel like I can grow. What I want you to know is that you need to be able to share those vulnerabilities and know that that's not going to be. Dale McCord needs to be able to go to Brian Braswell and talk about stuff. Lauren Hart needs to be able to go to Miss Eddie and talk about anything and say, hey, I need you to pray with me. I need you to help me through this struggle in my life. I don't know if we're all necessarily ready for that. So this is where the post-it notes come in that you've all been looking at. We're going to go back to those questions that Andy had and that stuff that Zacchaeus, I need to come be in your house today, right now. What are you going to do about it? So the question for you guys is, what's God saying to you? You may not be able to be vulnerable right now and go tell somebody what that deep, dark secret is that, or whatever that struggle is that you're supposed to overcome. But what I want to try out is write it on that post-it note. You don't have to sign your name to it. It can be anonymous. And while the worship team's playing songs, I want you guys to worship. I want you guys to sing. But I want you to take whatever you write on that post-it note and right here over your shoulders, for most of you, it's going to be over your right shoulder. There's a big piece of paper that says, what's God saying to you? I want you to go put that on the wall. And it could be something as simple as, hey, God's been telling me I need to read my Bible more. It could be, hey, I'm supposed to go talk to this person. It could be, hey, I'm supposed to start this workout group that's half workout, half Bible study. Maybe I'm supposed to treat it. Maybe I've got something that I did years and years and years ago and I haven't forgiven myself, even though I know God's forgiven me for that. What's God saying to you? What are you supposed to be doing that's supposed to help him further his kingdom? I want you to write it down, because after this, we're going to leave it up, and I want people to be able to walk back and say, you know what? I'm going to pray for what's on that post-it note. I'm going to pray for what's on that post-it note. Because everybody here at Faith Bible Church, we all say how much we love each other, help each other out. And the biggest thing that we need to help each other out on are the biggest struggles that we're going through in our life right now. So if you can go up and find a person and talk to them and share one-on-one about something, man, that's awesome. But right now, if you can't, I want you to write it on that post-it note and put it on that wall. And then whenever you do, have victory over what God's telling you, whatever it was on that post-it note, there's another Another piece of paper on there that I want us to be able to celebrate. So if you've done what you were supposed to do, then you can come pull that post-it note off and you can put it on the victory side and we can celebrate that God's helping you grow. And that's going to be, it's why we talk about vulnerability. I think it's one of the biggest things. And people say, well, I don't know if I can get there. I can't share in front of a big group. Mark, I'm going to pick on you and your story. Mark helped out in the Five Union, and Pastor Dan said, Mark, will you pray for us? And what was your response, Mark?
Nope.
Yeah. But after that, Mark said, you know what? The next time you ask, I'm going to do it. God was telling Mark, hey, you need to pray for people. You need to take this baby step. And then it came time to pray for the mission trip, the missionaries that were going to Romania. And Mark stood up, and Mark got asked to pray, and he prayed one of the most beautiful prayers. A lot of you walked up to Mark afterwards and talked about that. His next baby step in being vulnerable was somebody asked him, hey, will you start leading a Bible study? And Mark said, I'm not ready for this. But he started leading a Bible study here for Faith Bible Church. And then what that turned into with Mark is that he started going into BISD and started going around to the schools and saying, hey, can I pray for you? He didn't care what the rest of the crowd said. So there's areas in your vulnerability and where you can open up, but you got to start somewhere, whatever that small thing is. And God's going to keep pushing you and helping you grow. So let's be like Zacchaeus. When God says, what's God saying to you and what are you going to do about it? Let's act on it. Because he's going to keep giving you those opportunities to act on it until you say, yes, all right, Lord, I'm going to do what you're telling me that I need to do. So I'm going to pray for us. And while I pray for us, the worship team is going to come up. So two things. One, what is it that God's saying to you? Write it on your post-it note. Go put it on the wall. If you don't know Jesus, please come up, talk to myself, Brian, or Josh as we're singing. We would love to have that conversation with you. And thank you guys for listening. Father, I just want to thank you for this day and this awesome opportunity that we have to learn from your word and to learn why it is that Dan talks to us so much about you need to read your Bible. You need to read your Bible because you've got so many great things that we can learn from you in there. And Father, I just ask that there's somebody who doesn't know you this week, give them the courage to say, you know what? People aren't going to look at me funny. That if I walk up here in this church and say that I don't know you, that they're going to know that they're already accepted. They're already loved by you. And Father, I just ask that the things that you've put on people's heart that they're supposed to do, that they've been saying to you, that you'll also give them the courage to either write it down on that note so that we can start praying for them, or that you'll give them the courage tomorrow or the next day to pull somebody off to the side and say, hey, personal struggle, I need some help. Can you love me enough to help me through this? Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us, even though we don't deserve it. Amen.